few weeks, we've been looking at the biblical concept of blessing. Beginning with those words on Communion Sunday, grace and peace be yours in abundance. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, praise be to our God and Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We have seen that from the first page of Scripture to the last, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and everywhere in between, we find a God who desires to impart blessing to His congregation. God generously confers blessing and favor. He does not do it on the basis of merit. God is kind even to the wicked. He does so on the basis of His love and goodness. It is His nature to bless and confer favor. We've also seen that when you and I confer favor and blessing on others, and we do it as God does, not on the basis of merit, but on the basis of grace, we are reflecting the image and the likeness of God. There's one further aspect about blessing that we are going to explore in Scripture this morning. We opened our service with the words from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The psalmist continues, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The psalmist goes on to speak about the nature of God in blessing us. Remember, it is His nature to bless us. He uses such terms as God who is plenteous in mercy, the God who does not reward us according to our iniquities, but as far as the east is from the west, removes our sins from us, the God who takes into account that we are weak human beings and who has pity on us. It is His nature to bless. When we come to the end of the psalm, the psalmist continues this emphasis of blessing. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now here is the fact of the matter. Blessing is meant to flow in both directions, from God to us, and from us to God. Blessing more readily flows from God to us than from us to God. As human beings, we have issues, and they are deep-rooted issues. Just as it is God's nature to bless, it is our nature to curse. Just as it is God's nature to give, it is our nature to be stingy, to complain, and to be ungrateful. One of the issues that we have that prevails in our human nature is a spirit of entitlement. The default mode of the human race is entitlement. It's the belief that I deserve good, better, more, that I am exempt from responsibility, or that I have been treated unfairly. This sense of entitlement is why people so readily sue one another, and why you and I see our insurance rates going up, up, up. Yes, I borrowed money and I signed a loan to go to school, but I should not have to pay for it. Someone else should be responsible for that debt. Entitlement, like all manifestations of sin, is rooted in the lie perpetrated in the Garden of Eden. Look at the words with which the serpent addressed Eve. Did God really say, "You must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden"? And then he went on to say, "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." You deserve better. God has held something back on you. God does not want you to have the best, and you should have it. You are entitled. Entitlement is really a narcissistic personality disorder. And so because it is the default mode of the human race, let's acknowledge that all of us have a narcissistic personality disorder. And another aspect of it is its sense of victimization. It's someone else's fault that I am where I am. It's someone else's fault that life is like this for me. Things just haven't worked out as well for me as for someone else. They get all the breaks. They have all the privileges. Again, victimization is why we sue other people, to get something for ourselves. And it is yet another outcome of the lie that the servant perpetrated. Remember what happened afterwards. Adam and Eve realized that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and they hid themselves when God came walking in the cool of the evening, seeking out their fellowship. "Where are you, Adam?" "I'm hiding." "Why are you hiding?" "I'm naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." The Lord turned to the woman. "Is that true? What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me. That's why I ate it. It's not really my fault. It's someone else's fault. They are responsible. I'm not responsible. I'm just the victim." You and I look in the mirror to look good. But the fact is, ugly is staring us back. Our sin-warped nature, to use an expression, has made us ugly to the bone. Think about it. We are driven by lust, always wanting more. After all, are any of you satisfied with looking at just one post on social media? Playing a video game for just 5 minutes? Fact is, we come into church, we still can't put our phones aside. It's lust. Proverbs says the eyes of a man are never satisfied, and neither is the grave. We continually want more. We're also self-absorbed. We are perpetually focused on our feelings, our opinions, our appearances, plans, goals, next steps, accomplishments, our hurts, our injustices. The list goes on and on and on. And furthermore, we are ignorant and obtuse. We are blind to the extent of God's gracious and pervasive goodness in our lives. That is the ugly that stares back at us. The Bible is clear in describing our condition. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, futile in their thinking, darkened in their understanding. Those are descriptions of obtuse. Separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That describes our human condition. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Think this description is about someone else? No. It applies to all of us because of our sin-warped human nature. We live by our senses. That word sensuality not only applies to that which is erotic or that which is immoral, it means that we live by our senses. And not by a greater paradigm or a higher perspective. We do what feels good to us. We do what makes sense to us. We do whatever appeals to us. Those words, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. That is the indictment of humanity. It is the indictment of you and I. We know God, but often there is an absence of gratitude in our lives. Our thanksgiving to God, our recognition of God's goodness is paltry and meager. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Amen. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Always, never, and all. There are some things that should always characterize our lives. They are not to be occasional or sporadic. When they are, something is broken. always be joyful. Never stop praying, enjoying fellowship with God, and be thankful in all circumstances, at all times, wherever you are. For this is God's will, His divine design for you in Christ Jesus. I imagine that few of us sitting here this morning would characterize ourselves as ungrateful people. If I said, "Are you grateful?" you would say yes. And we are. And yet, the awareness and the practice of gratitude in each day in our lives is often very minimal. The fact of the matter is, your life, my life, is permeated with the gracious goodness of God. Every moment we are alive, in everything that we are doing, we are experiencing the gracious goodness of God. We experience it on every level of life. The fact is, we are sustained and enabled by that which we rarely acknowledge. We are sustained and enabled by that which we rarely acknowledge. So, let's ask ourselves, since you came in and you sat down, how many of you have thanked God for the breath that you just took? Okay, a couple of people. During the time that we sat here, God has enabled us to be alive. We don't create oxygen. He created it. He created our respiratory systems to function the way that they do. And yet we go days, weeks, maybe longer, never saying to God, "Thank you for the oxygen in the air, the breath in my lungs." We go to the grocery store. We look for specific things. How many of you this week, as you made your purchases, thought about the migrant worker working in the heat of Southern California, picking those fruits or those vegetables that you are purchasing? How many of you thought about the soil that God infused with the minerals and the ability to grow that food? You see, all day long, in 100 different ways, everything that we do is sustained and enabled by God, but we are fixated on what we have accomplished, and yet we could never accomplish one thing if God didn't take care of everything that enables us and sustains us. Our lives, every aspect, every moment, is permeated with the goodness of God. Amen. Here's a definition of ingratitude. It is blessings received, but unacknowledged. If we have not acknowledged that God has given us breath, blessings received, unacknowledged, ingratitude. That He has given us health, intelligence, but we never stop and thank Him. Blessings received, unacknowledged, equals what? Ingratitude. As I said, few of us would characterize ourselves as ungrateful. But in practice, it's a different matter. John Ortberg, in his book Soul Keeping, wrote, "Entitlement grows deep within us." That's why for the soul, ingratitude is not just a psychological problem or an impoverishment of our emotional experience, what we were referring to earlier. It is a sin. And according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, ingratitude is the hallmark of a life opposed to God. That's severe, isn't it? When ingratitude is not practiced in our lives, we are out of alignment with God. Let's dig a little bit deeper into understanding gratitude. According to the Word of God, we are born blind and ignorant to the gracious, good, and faithfulness of God that permeates every aspect of our existence. Just like babies, they aren't aware of the good that is being done for them. They just know when they're hungry and when they're uncomfortable, and they complain. That characterizes the human condition. We're happy when all is well, but when it's not, we complain. We are fine when everything is going good for us and no one does wrong to us, but when they do, we're upset. And all the while, we are blind and ignorant to the gracious, good, and faithfulness of God that we are experiencing every single moment. Even as Christians, those who have been spiritually enlightened, we go through our days more conscious of ourselves than aware of the goodness of God that we are experiencing with every single heartbeat and every single breath. Gratitude is not something that is assumed. Oh, yeah. I'm grateful. No. If it is not intentional and specific, it doesn't rise to the level of being gratitude. Our human condition is to take things for granted. Just as you and I take for granted that there's oxygen in the air and we will breathe our next breath. It is only when something happens and there's a crisis and we have an asthmatic attack, where the air is filled with smoke from wildfires, and we can't breathe well, then it becomes an issue for it, and we don't take it for granted. That's the way we do life. We take so much for granted. Real gratitude involves cultivating awareness and intentional expression. Put those two terms in your mind. Cultivated awareness and intentional expression. This is what David was talking about when he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Cultivated awareness and intentional expression. We referenced Psalm 113 in our worship. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to its setting. In Psalm 119, the psalmist said, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws." Muslims will bow five times a day towards Mecca, and they will pray. Wherever they are, in the midst of whatever they're doing, they will stop, spread their prayer rug, bow toward the east, facing Mecca, and they will pray. And 34 times a day, they will express their praise of Allah. How many of us rise to the level of 7 times a day, O Lord, I stop and praise you for your righteous laws? The truth is, gratitude is the lifeblood of the God-conscious life. Let me give you 2 quick definitions. When you read the word ungodly in Scripture, it means living as though God makes no difference. No difference in what I say, no difference in what I do, no difference in my planning, no difference in my execution. I'm just focused on me. On the other hand, the word godly means living as though God makes all the difference in everything about my life. Ungodly, living as though God makes no difference. Godly, living as though God makes all the difference. And gratitude is the lifeblood of a godly life. Remember the words of Romans chapter 1. They knew God, but they did not give him thanks. They knew God, but they lived ungodly, without consciousness, without regard, without acknowledgement of him. On the other hand, when you and I are grateful, we are conscious of God. If we are conscious of God, we will be grateful. Gratitude is indispensable because it is lifeblood. It is the lifeblood of faith, of trust, of humility, encouragement, hope, joy, contentment, peace. When gratitude is missing, those things cannot exist. They are life to us spiritually. When gratitude is minimal in practice and in presence, we become people who are critical, self-focused, self-pitying, arrogant. In short, all the things that characterize someone who is ungodly, who has no consciousness of God. So what do we need to do? We need to cultivate. What was the term that we used earlier? Cultivate awareness and be intentional in expression. We need to practice gratitude. I gave you a definition for ingratitude. Let me give you a working definition for gratitude. Gratitude is the practiced awareness of the gracious goodness of God that dominates my life. Now, God is good to both the righteous and the unrighteous, the wicked and the good. Those were the words of Jesus. He causes the rain to fall on those who use his name in profanity and those who worship him, as we did this morning. God is good and he is gracious. And his goodness and his graciousness dominates our lives. It impacts and affects everything that we are and we do. All that we have access to, all that supports our lives. all that makes us healthy, all that gives us what we need in order to do what we do. God's goodness dominates our lives. And gratitude is the practiced awareness of the gracious goodness of God in my life. The Hebrew word for gratitude means recognizing the good. Recognizing the good. So when you and I are grateful to God, we are recognizing the good. When we are specifically grateful, then we have awareness of what God has done for me personally. And when we practice it, we are recognizing the fact that God is constantly good in our lives. Amen. That we are where we are, even this morning sitting here, because God has been good in every moment of our lives. Amen. God knows that I hate to make a left-hand turn at the top of the hill on Bel Air Road at Furley Avenue. Cars come flying down. They come over the top of that hill. I've been rear-ended and my car totaled by a drunk driver who didn't slow down. I know what it's like to be rear-ended at full speed. God knows I don't like to make a left-hand turn there. And sometimes I will go out of my way so that I don't have to. But whenever I come there to make a left-hand turn, you know what my God does for me? There's never any traffic coming. Traffic pours north on Bel Air Road. But when I get there to make a turn, my God, who is good to me in every moment of my day, has already arranged the traffic. Friends, it happens so many times that it can't be anything less. I can't time it. Only God can time it. My God is good to me. And every single time He hears me say, thank you. And He knows that every time I'm waiting to see. And He is faithful to me. God is present in our lives. Every moment that we live, with every breath that we take, ensuring that our hearts beat, keeping our minds whole and stable. Ensuring that we can do what we do because we are undergirded. We are fully supported by His goodness. We should recognize the good. In the time of Jesus and the disciples, there was a practice of every devout Israelite. They practiced what was known as the 18 benedictions. In the morning, as they got up, at noontime, and then at night, as they were preparing to go to bed, they would pray 18 times. Blessed are you, O God. Blessed are you, O God, for you have forgiven all my willful sins, my iniquities. Blessed are you, O God, for you have healed my diseases. Blessed are you, O God, because you have kept my family intact yet another day. Blessed are you, O God, for I did not experience any violence when I went out today. Blessed are you, O God, because I did not have an accident today. Blessed are you, O God, for you have given me health in my body. Blessed are you, O God. It's not hard to accumulate 18 times. Not at all. That practice was important. It was critical even, because it raised their awareness of God's goodness in every aspect of their lives. And it made them mindful of their dependency on God's faithfulness. What if for a moment God took his eye off of you? What if for a moment God did not sustain all things by his powerful word? That's what Scripture tells us. He sustains all of creation by his powerful word. What if God's goodness was held up in some way in your life? What would happen to you? You and I are dependent upon God's faithfulness. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Amen. Cycle after cycle, season after season, you and I experience the faithfulness of God. A number of weeks ago, we were in that long stretch when it was dry. Our lawns were turning brown. When we would drive somewhere and be out in the country, I would look at the corn and it was only a few inches high when it should have been 6 feet tall by this time. And I prayed, "Oh God, send rain for the farmers. If you don't send rain, their crops will die in the field. God, send rain." Now, I'm not the only one that was praying. But God heard that prayer. Amen. And he sent rain. Amen. We can no longer go a week without mowing our lawns because the ground is wet and the grass is growing. God sustains life. God provides. God takes care. This practice raised their consciousness of God's goodness in every aspect of their lives. It reminded them that they were dependent on the faithfulness of God. On the other hand, the absence of gratitude reduces us to the status of animals. Those who are insensitive, those who have no understanding of God's goodness and faithfulness. Gratitude brings us into fellowship with God. Blessed are you. That's personal. That's coming face to face with God. Face to face before our Heavenly Father and saying, "Thank you. Blessed are you, O God." And gratitude brings us into the worship of God. Interestingly, when the heavenly beings surround the throne of God and the Lamb, thanks is one of the things that they speak. "You are worthy to receive all glory and honor and wisdom and power and strength and thanks. For you have created all things. Amen. And for your pleasure, they were created. Amen. Thou art worthy, O Lord." Gratitude is deeply relational. And equally so, when gratitude is not expressed, it fractures a relationship. Didn't he care about what I gave him? Did he get it? Did it not arrive? Did it mean anything? Did it not mean anything? Gratitude is deeply relational. The word "bless" in Scripture means happy. That is its most basic definition. So when you and I read, "Blessed is the man," it means happy is the man. And by the same token, when we say, blessed are you, O God, we are blessing God with happiness. When we offer our gratitude to God, we honor Him. For we acknowledge that He is faithful and that He has ensured the stability of our lives. But we also bring delight to Him. Whenever we do something for Beatrice, she writes the most wonderful thank you notes. They will make you feel good for a month. The words are so thoughtful. They are so personal. They are so affirming. They impart blessing. They bring delight to the heart. When you and I do not practice awareness and intentional gratitude, we are withdrawing from the heart of God, for every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, who is faithful, or as James says in that verse, with whom there is no shadow of turning. We sing that line, in great is thy faithfulness. You can count on God today, tomorrow, and every moment of your life. He is not going to change on you. But when you and I are not grateful, we are dismissive of that constant faithfulness of God in our lives. In other words, we are pulling back from His heart, from the one who is good. But when we bless the Lord, we draw near to His heart and we honor Him and we fill His heart with joy. Amen. Blessing is meant to flow both ways. The truth is, in our lives, it's very one-sided. God pours blessing into our lives. We don't often stop in a meaningful or a substantive way to bless the Lord. I want to encourage you to institute the practice of the 18 benedictions. Benediction means to bless, to speak words of good. In the morning when you get up, take just a few minutes and bless the Lord 18 times, thinking of His goodness and His faithfulness to you, to your family. Stop during the day at noon. Look back over the first half of your day and think of how God's been good and faithful to you, and bless Him. In the evening when you lay down, don't let your phone be the last thing that you look at. Let the last thing be, you put it down, and for 18 times you said, blessed are you, O Lord, for you watched over me and took care of me today. Blessed are you, O Lord, for you watched over and took care of my family. Blessed are you, O Lord, because my vehicle did not break down in the middle of the beltway, where I might have been killed. Blessed are you, O God, for nothing went wrong with my health today. You kept me in every way. Remember, gratitude must be practiced, and blessing is meant to flow both ways.